We're back.
And it's the week that the country is now open.
Yes. Oh my God. Actually, what restaurant can you wait? You can't wait to go near yet.
I don't have any.
I don't either. I want to try everything new. Everything needs to be new.
One thing is, I do feel like I'm new to the country again.
It's like a rebirth.
Because even like people's... I was watching this reel about places to go to eat in London.
Oh my God.
It's kind of weird. It's like you forget.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everyone's now reminding people of places to go.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like we're in a new world entirely. It's like the country is fully open for the first time ever.
But you know what's funny about that? When you showed it to me, the ones that actually I found more interesting were the outdoor ones.
Which is really funny.
Yeah,
I mean, it'll be great for summer to be outdoor. You don't want to be inside during summer, which is kind of like the government playing games on our minds again, if you think about it, because we're going to be outside. Nobody wants to be inside anyway. It's just having the option to go inside.
I can't wait to dress up.
Yeah.
Look cute. Oh, guys. Oh, what am I going to wear?
Yeah.
What shall I wear?
I think it's just that having the opportunity to go out. That's the thing. I really want to go have nice food.
But
vibe with people.
Are you not finding it, though, a bit daunting when you see loads of people now?
Oh my God, the train station, yeah.
Yeah, it gets a bit.
So when I come back from work, the platforms are packed with people. And it's just like, oh my God, forget COVID. It's just ill. It's just ill having people around you. And like the students don't have to wear masks from today. And I think people don't have to wear masks from the 21st. Yeah. Which will be weird.
It's going to be very weird. Because even in the train, like, for example, now, I don't know.
People started sitting beside each other.
Yeah, I was standing, and this guy was, like, right literally next, like, looking, like, I literally made a big, like, no. Like,
let me tell you something. People are going to start looking at you weird if you start moving because people are vaccinated and people.
Like, let me know. Wear a sticker.
And COVID.
Wear a sticker.
They should have badges.
They should have a sticker.
But I think that's a bit weird.
I had a sticker. They gave me a sticker.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they gave me a sticker.
They say fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I don't know why I stuck it though.
Oh, I would wear that just so people know. Because I think it's weird when people sit beside people.
Yeah, it's like, too much.
I find it so ill. Like, why are you sitting beside me? But that's rude. I think that's absolutely rude. Because before you'd sit beside people.
But now it's mad. Because even like, for example, remember I told you I was in the train station and a woman, she needed to go up the escalators and she had a baby and a buggy.
No one would help her. And see, that's what I'm saying. That behavior of the past year and a half, 2 years, people need to unlearn being rude.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, do you need help? She's like, yeah, thank you. And I carried the baby like up like 2 steps. Yeah. She's just like, thank you so much.
There's a lot of things that people have now, like manners, basic manners people have lost because they just literally like, don't come near me.
But I'm gonna lie, if you cough wrongly beside me, I'm gonna get irritated.
I mean, that's normal. You shouldn't really be coughing anyway beside me.
Remember that day we were getting food and the guy coughed and we went and we moved and he was laughing. Yeah. He was bare laughing.
Yeah, he was proper like, I don't have COVID.
It don't matter.
I think things are so weird now. A lot of things are weird. But I can't imagine not being with my mask or someone there without a mask. It's just really weird.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm over the mask. I hate them.
I don't know.
It's messed up my makeup. And then when I pull it off.
I just think, I hope everyone is safe. Like, I hope when we do take off the mask, it's not like, you know,
I think, right, just because they're telling you can take it off doesn't mean use your common sense. If you are going on a train, wear a mask.
I think on transport, wear it.
If you're just going to your friend's house, blah, blah, and you trust your friends, as they said, take off your mask.
Yeah.
But other stuff like that, wear it. Yeah. In the restaurant, I understand the fact that it doesn't make sense because when you sit down, you can't have your mask off.
But when you're walking around,
you have to take it off.
It's good that it's table service. It should have always been table service. I don't know what the fuck they'd be doing. Why would we have waitresses if we can't be table service?
You guys be asking for service charge. Exactly. Service charge.
What service? And I think it's also made hospitality people a bit more nicer because they've been out of work. And because I remember when we went for drinks just down the road, and the lady was so lovely, and you know, it's kind of people are learning how to be again.
Yeah.
And like the customer service training they had in the beginning is now back in. Mm-hmm. Because before it was like, oh, I can't wait to get home, I'm so tired of this. But now people are like, oh, I'm so happy to have interaction and how are you and things like that.
As well, I suppose people are probably nicer to healthcare staff now. Before they used to be
so. No.
You don't think so?
No.
No?
I work still in rude. Healthcare, they're still rude.
Really?
They ain't got time for none of y'all. Yeah, like clapping like is that. Over. No,
oh, the clapping's been over.
The clapping's over, and you know what? They do care, but I think if it's just like anyway, if you don't get the service you feel like you should be getting, you will still complain. But, and you'll but I get it
though. It's bit, we, the NHS, we don't have that much money, so it's not that easy. As yeah. said, like we do want
to
make
improvements. I know during the pandemic they were like they were pumping money into us, but like you need to remember there's so many trusts.
It like, doesn't work like that.
Do you know what I mean? And before I don't think. And it. I don't think. I think people. Forget that at the end of the day, working is money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working to earn, to make a living for mm-hmm. myself. If you're offering me 1% increase after everything I've been through in the pandemic, coming home, not being able to hug my husband, hug my kids, looking after people, making sure that your families and your people are okay, I'm to grumpy. Come and insult me and say that you can't even give me a pay rise or something tangible, then clapping. Come on, obviously, I'm not going to be like...
Pay me in claps.
Yeah, like, it's just...
I'm not going to lie, though. The NHS is very, very underpaid. Like, it is...
Very underpaid.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I
think the NHS definitely do deserve a little bit more love.
It's
I
just mean, we don't get paid enough.
Yeah.
From admin to clinical to everything. Yeah. It's not... No, honestly.
I mean, to be fair, when you... Even consultants, to be fair. Consultants do get paid a lot, but you have to be a consultant. And the thing about it is, even them, they still feel like they're not being paid enough. Because one thing that I found out recently was... If you are a junior doctor coming mm-hmm. in from a different country, you can be paid as much as a consultant in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't help foreigners, because... Now you've got conflict in the workplace because you know that I'm getting paid the same amount as someone who has worked for years. Like, I just feel like the NHS is just... We need a lot of love. Please.
We need love. We need money.
Please. I think we need GoFundMes.
We actually do.
For every trust.
It's just not funny.
To help us pay our salaries. But anyways.
Yeah. Off.
Wow. We went on a tangent there. Just blah, 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 blah. That's what happens if we haven't been on for a while. So yeah, should we do the intro?
Yes.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi guys. Welcome to the Sister Life Friends podcast. My name is Helen.
My name is Abby. And it's great to be back.
Oh my God. To be fair, guys, we really needed that break. I'm not trying to be funny. Like, it did become a work and... When it's your hobby becomes work.
It's not meant to be that.
Yeah, it sucks the life out of you.
Exactly.
So we're back.
Yes.
And hopefully better. Back. Hope everyone is good. Abby almost, she just always has to sing.
Guys, but you don't know I'm a singer.
Oh my God.
I'm a singer.
Oh, good Lord. So we're back. Hope everyone's good. Hope everyone's having a great week, because by the time you hear this, it will be during the week.
Yeah.
Hump day, the worst day of the week, apparently.
Yeah.
But it's the best day because you get to hear our voices.
Yeah.
So today we are going to be talking about something that I guess is very relatable to a lot of people. I mean, it's very relatable to us. Abby and I, yeah. Being the big sister and the trauma that we faced by being the big sister. I think it's only recently that I realized that I do have a lot of big sister issues.
Really?
Yeah. It was when I went home, actually. And do you know what? It's hard, you know. It's hard being a black woman, first of all.
Let alone
having, like, being the oldest child as well. It's a lot. It is a lot because... Me and my sisters were talking with our parents just about, you know, being modern and things like that and how they refuse to adjust to, like, you know, being more westernized. Because my parents are very, very cultured and they're very traditional in everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that had a toll on me, because that puts, like, pressure on you to be somewhat a perfect child because you're the first seed and you have this pressure of...
Mine is always that, you know, they're watching you, yes, blah blah blah. What you know, does, you,
do you know, and I think that is the worst thing you could say to a young child, is like, oh, your younger ones are watching you, they're looking up to you, what you do is an example of what they're gonna do. So
yes.
And it goes down to, like, my parents take it down to, like, if you marry this certain person,
oh yeah, I got all, oh, sisters, oh yeah, I'm and getting brothers that one, yeah,
are gonna marry that same person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how? Mm-hmm. We don't even like the same things, but in your head that's been programmed that that you're going to be, what you do is going to affect them,
exactly. Which is a lot of pressure, because I'm like, we're trying to figure out our own lives, we're, exactly, trying to figure out how we, our marriages and stuff. I'm like, how are you gonna say that we affect, what about you? So you don't affect them? No
you,
all this stuff that you guys, you put more pressure.
Sorry guys, I'm choking. I'm gonna go get water, keep talking
about. Okay, my problem is the pressure about, oh, we are the ones that they look up to and blah blah. I'm like, but you guys are there, what happened? Why is it now my job to raise your kids? Why is what I'm doing, how's that going to impact them? Like, I do get it to a certain extent, because I feel like with, like, siblings and stuff, they become closer to you.
Yeah.
And it's easier to translate into, even though you're their older sister or, yeah, older brother, it's easy for them to talk to you. Like, with my siblings now, if anything is worrying them, they probably come to me. They most likely come to me before they come to my parents.
Yeah, because that's because our parents, I feel like our parents, I'm sorry, parents, they had us.
Parents.
They had us to be them.
Yes.
Oh wow, guys, I'm really choking. I always think, yeah, when I start talking about parents,
is it them? Is it them?
Sorry, lads, I just really needed.
It's like, is it them? Water. I didn't do it.
No, because one thing I found is that when I was growing up,
because
the gap between me and my sister is 6 years and 8 years,
mm-hmm,
so it's a big gap.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like being the oldest child. And I actually spoke to my sisters, mm-hmm, about this recently as well. I had to break it down because me and the youngest had, like, problems. Mm-hmm. Like, because I, to the extent that one day she literally shouted at me and said, you're not my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to take on that responsibility of, you know, cooking, taking them to school,
mm-hmm,
teaching them certain things. And I felt like I took the mother role.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking away that, not saying that my mom kind of just dumped them on me or anything like that, but it's just a thing that's programmed in Nigerian homes, especially, yeah, that you have now become the mother. You're the one who is to guide, you're there to guide your siblings.
But my problem, you see that, I get it, but my problem with that thing that used to piss me off is because you're their mother until they don't want you to be their mother.
Yeah.
The parents now want to be their mothers, yeah, and be their, what do you call it? Not that they're not their mothers, but when it comes down to it, when it's the easy part.
Yeah.
It's like let's say, for example, now my sister did something wrong or my brother did something wrong, and I'm like, I try and discipline them.
Then they start vexing with you.
Yeah, they're like, no, don't do that to my child. I'm like, yeah, it's your child now. But when you called me to speak to her about this situation, or speak to him about this, yeah, situation, you didn't know it was your child.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go talk to your child?
Which causes further division. Because then I now, like, have
to tell them that what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, and then you look like you're the bad person because now your parents are siding them. And you're like, okay, so I'm the bad person, exactly, now. So my siblings are going to look at me like I'm the terror, mm-hmm, and I'm the problem. And you're causing big problems that you don't even realize. So it wasn't until recently that me and my younger sister got closer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had so much issues because I, like I said, took on that motherly role. And, mm-hmm, she didn't understand why at that time. And when I was growing up, I used to always say to my parents, like, you lot are letting them get away with this. I would never have gotten away with, mm-hmm, this. You know, I was disciplined in this, mm-hmm, certain way. I was brought up in this certain way. But with them, you're just so lenient. Mm-hmm. You're this, you're that. And that caused me to look like I was the problem, yeah, to my sisters. Yeah. They didn't confide in me. They couldn't speak to me. They felt like I was causing them problems. Obviously, they had their own issues that I probably could have noticed if I was more of a sister,
mm-hmm,
than a mom, because I'm looking from the top. I'm not relating with them on the sibling level, mm, of, oh, I get what you're talking about. It was more like, what do you mean? You're just being silly. Oh,
see,
like,
with me, I fitted three caps. I was
parents,
friend, sister. no, anything was wrong. I was doing loads. I was getting tired.
I tried, but...
There'd be problems. They'll have problems with friends. I was trying to sort it. Anything would happen with this, blah, blah. I was trying to sort it. I remember there was a time my sister, they were treating her somehow in school, whatever. Mm. I went down to the thing. I was like, what are you doing? To my sister, like, literally, like I left where I was, where I was in school. And I went, I was doing everything. I took on
full parent role.
Mate.
I went into full motherhood role. Like, that's why, like, when even... It got to a point where I was like, I don't think I want kids.
Come. There was a time... Oh, my God. I was going to tell you a story.
What?
There was a time, right? So, there's this time that... anyway, I had to look after my siblings, right? Mm. So, I was really, like... Because I was going to school. They were going to school. But I had to look after them. Like, when my parents were at work or whatever. And they had... I had this, like, clock one time that didn't have, like, the numbers on it. So, it was switched upside down.
Oh my God.
So, and I thought, I was like, oh my God, because I was meant to wake them up and get them ready for school.
Yeah.
So it started going off and I was like, oh my God, it's time for school and I haven't gotten them ready. So I got these poor kids up ready, bathed them, everything, got them dressed. Then I realised it was only like 4 a.m. in the morning. I know. And then I was like, God, and I had to put them back to bed. And I was like, Dad, I'm sorry. I thought we were late, but okay, guys, go back to bed.
At least they're ready for school.
I mean, them go back to bed.
In their uniform. Yeah, I would have done the same thing.
Oh my God, I could just remember. I think I've done that for myself.
Yeah.
I remember my dad going back and he was like, he felt so sorry. Because I was traumatized.
Nah, it is a lot. I think the one that I remember was...
I think I fed them as well.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? No, that's a bit much. Abby, you have to go extreme.
Oh my God.
No, I think with me, my story that sisters even said to me recently when we had the conversation was... I would get ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get myself ready for school, get them ready for school, walk them to school. Mm-hmm. This is two different directions. Mm-hmm. I would walk them to school.
Mm-hmm.
For people who lived in Tala, I would work in City West, to be fair. I'd walk them to Sagard Abbey and then walk back to Brookfield in time for school.
Oh, how long does that take?
It's a good, like, 40-minute trip on foot. And I remember my sisters were telling me recently, they were like, as much as it was traumatic, it also, I think my sisters appreciate me.
Yeah.
Although we had our problems, they appreciate the fact that I would sacrifice my time to be the mother or the whatever in that moment. But I didn't realize, because everyone knows, I don't think about things. I suppress it.
Mm.
I move on. I see life as it is what it is. This is what I'm supposed to do. I just do it. But when we were having the conversation, it made me feel like, fuck, yo. Like, I have been a bad sister to my youngest sister, especially because I had to be her mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's only now that when we're having conversations with my sisters, and this is the problem I'm having now, is where my parents are now looking at me like I've gone left.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not agreeing with everything they're saying in order to, like, maybe to discipline or to advise them.
Yeah.
I'm now on the side of the sibling.
Yeah.
And it feels different. It feels good. Mm-hmm. It feels like we are allies.
Do you know what? Maybe because your personality, because you know the way with me, right? Everyone always says I'm very, like, a mediator or whatever.
Yeah.
So with me, right, I don't stay in
on
one name.
Side, yeah.
It's literally like, it depends. Like, if you are wrong, I'm going to call you out that you're wrong. And then if you're not, like, either way, if that's to my siblings, if it's to my parents. And the thing about my parents, they know I'm not one to you know, not say how I feel.
Yeah.
I will say it. If I feel like you guys are
wrong.
I'm only
starting that.
Yeah, if you... And it's got me, we've got into problems, loads of problems before. But they know this is just me, that I only speak up for what is right.
But I felt like... With the two-sided thing, with, like, being the mediator, which is something I did. So I went from being on my parents' side to being a mediator to being on my sister's side. Mm-hmm. Being on the fence caused me problems as well, because it would be, I get a call and be like, oh, no, and I'd be like, yeah, I get irate, go flip at one side, and then I'd be like, yeah, and then I'd flip at the other side. Like, it just, I couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be the person that I wanted to be, because I felt like I was having to please every
you
side. See,
but that's not mediating. That's not what, that isn't pleasing every
but
side.
But you're sitting on the fence though.
No, it's not. I'm sitting on what's right. Whatever's right at that time, it's not a certain side I'm taking.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If
but I will try, I'll make you both understand where the other person's coming from.
Yeah, you do that, but I don't, you've met my mom. I every time we have these conversations, like, why you act like you've never met my mom? Like, it's only now that I'm literally fully sitting on the other side that she can hear. Because
mm-hmm.
if she calls me and says something, mm-hmm. in that moment, she wants me to agree. If mm-hmm. I don't agree, that's World War mm-hmm. 10.
Yeah.
So I've now fully said no.
Mm-hmm.
I hear them mm-hmm. and I am siding with them because yeah. you don't hear them. So I'm now on the right side. But I just feel like growing up, like, parents just, they expect so much of you as the first child.
Oh, they do. When it comes to grades, when it comes to and where you're going to uni.
Yeah.
Like, I did my own, like, my, what do you call it, applications for uni, right? I had to do, they were all looking over my shoulder, what yeah. you're putting on, what
yes.
you're, my brother and sister put whatever also, what did you do? What did you decide? I'm like, yeah. what's all this,
it's cause,
like?
It's because we are there. They feel like we are going to guide them.
Guide.
Like, everything growing up was, go and meet your
sister. Yeah, yeah, go and meet, yeah, yeah. Meet she's done it before. Yeah, go she's like, yeah, did you have to do this? Did you feel this out? Did you do that? Even applying for, like, the let's say, for
grants and stuff like that.
No, nothing. Nothing.
They knew, like, oh, Lord. It's actually a lot, like, you've got to be the one that knows how to cook, the one that knows how to clean, the one that knows how to, like, you have to, whoever you're marrying has to be this, that. Like, it's, I'm not trying to be funny, it's my little sisters that are helping me say no. Like, my little sisters are the ones that are training me and teaching me how to be normal. Like, when I say normal, like, not so programmed and structured and have to be a perfect child. Like, I never went outside playing. Mm-hmm. Like, I barely played outside. Like, it wasn't something that I had time for. I used to look at my friends jumping around like, are you lot all right? Like, act your age. But they were acting their age mm-hmm. at the age of 8, 9, 10. They were being fully children. And I was like, okay, you're doing too much now.
See, me, I had the opposite. So I was allowed, basically, they fully treated me because I started talking and doing everything. Like, you know.
They treated like an adult.
They treated me like an adult. As in, I was an adult and I felt like an adult. So I was older than my years. So I would be out. Don't leave me out. Late. And sometimes I'll come home at like 11. I'll be outside playing. It was fine until something like I was now feeling too much as an adult and I was doing too much. Then they started trying to retract and be like, no, you have a curfew. Your curfew is now 8 o'clock. Yeah. This is this. Yeah. I was like, eh, call what?
When
call
did you,
what?
Yeah.
I was like, eh? So like, it was confusing to me. So it's kind of like I had something.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to take it away from me.
Yeah.
When, you know, whatever. And they always had me involved in grown-up conversations. So anything, like, I was always the one that had to solve something, no matter how young I was. And I'm like, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be listening to this. I shouldn't know this is happening.
I shouldn't know we're in this situation.
Yes,
this
exactly. Yeah. I shouldn't have to be trying to explain to you what this person's saying, what that person's saying. But I had to, and I had to always rise to that. But I feel like there's positives I can take from it because it's helped me in my adult life now.
Definitely.
There's things that I see that can't shake me.
100%.
I'm like, oh, okay, oh, is this what's happening?
Yeah. Right, oh, that's cool. Fine. Yeah, it's minor.
And everyone's just like, oh, panicking. I'm like, no, don't worry, guys.
I think there is, as much as we say that, obviously, being the big sister is traumatic and there's so much that you go through and you have to protect your younger ones and you have to be the adult, you have to do this, you have to do that. It also does help you in your day-to-day life. Like, some people may look at me and think I'm not caring or I'm not, you know, very, like, gentle with certain things. It's just because I'm just like, I don't understand. We are the same age or you're older than me. Sometimes I can't understand how you're acting like a child.
But then, do you not get the thing that they do, right? I feel like with parents, which irritate me, is they want you to be an adult, right? And you're an adult when it comes to your siblings. But then
when it's your turn, you're the child.
I know more than you. And I'm like, 100%. I'm so confused. Pick a lane and 100%. Stick to it. Because you're confusing me. When it's come to telling you about yourself,
100%.
I'm out. Or modeling share.
So let me tell you something. I had this issue in my house that used to piss me off. If I wanted to do anything or say anything, or let's say I said something back to my mother, Oh, you think you're a big girl now? Mm-hmm. You think you know what you're doing because you're doing this, because you're wearing this. You think you're a big girl. If it was my sisters that barked, they will come to me and be like,
"Yeah, what happened? Explain to me.
Why is she like that? I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm just like, whatever soap they are using, I need it.
I need it. Clearly, you didn't give it to me or whatever.
Abby, if my esophagus stone is just a little bit. My mom will literally pounce on me. Whereas the others, it was that's why I think that also caused the division because I always used to look like, am I adopted? Yeah. Am I different? Am I your child?
And then another thing that I understand, like my brother and sister, they're like what 20? What are they? How old am I?
21.
They're 21 above, right? Okay, that age.
Actually, 20.
Yeah,
20
and above. Yeah, right. Okay, cool. When I was that age, oh, she's an adult, she's this, she's here, she's that, blah, blah. But then when they're referring to my siblings, they'll be like, the kids. Yeah. I'm always corrected. I'm like, what do you mean, the kids?
Yes.
Because
us is different,
what,
though.
I don't understand. What is wrong with you?
They saw us grow up quicker. They saw us do things at that age that we've allowed our siblings not have to do.
Yes. Yes.
Do you get what I mean?
They don't have to.
There's a lot of things that I've learned that I pass on to my sisters so that they don't have to struggle.
Yeah, and they've seen
how I struggle to maybe, oh, I have to get a job. I kind of like tell them this is what you say.
They've been working from like, like they have internships under their belt. They have this under their belt.
They're working. They're doing well. I can honestly say I think they're doing well.
Yeah. No, thank God. And that's. Us,
really. It is us. I'm sorry.
I don't take like pat on the back.
Do you know what? I don't even need to take full credit because my sisters reassure me that I did a good job.
Yeah, they're okay. They're so sweet. Every time they do something and they get something, let's say like a promotion or they get into something,
they just
do well,
want to tell
they come
you first,
to me and then they're like, "Thank you so much." They always say thank you, and it warms my heart. I'm just like,
even just
my first those. Then I tell you in this world, those are the first children.
Yeah,
honestly, no.
I just couldn't imagine, like, nothing, like, honestly, parents, they do their best, and
they
do.
But there's no role, there's no book.
Exactly, there's no book to being a parent, there's no manual, you just, and funny enough, my mom actually acknowledged the fact that, yes, she should have not been as her mother was. Do you understand? Because it's a thing of, you know, this is wrong. This way of like the disciplinarian, the strictness and stuff. You know it isn't maybe how you should be in this time. But because that's all you know, you feel like that's the right way. Because you turned out great. Do you know what I mean? So because I turned out a certain way, if I feel like, oh, I did well, maybe the way my mom brought me up is the right way doesn't necessarily mean it will work for your child. And that's what we kept saying in our little meeting that we had. Like me now, obviously the way I've been brought up, I don't think my child needs to be brought up that way. Like, I feel like I'm going to train my child in the way that I feel the child needs to be trained. Because every child is different. And that's one thing we had in my house where my mom couldn't understand how different her other two were to me. She's tried to raise them the way she raised me, but she realized later on that it don't work.
So I think with my household, I had two extremes. I had too nice and too much. No, honestly.
Too nice and too much.
Yeah, no, honestly. So one would just be barking at me, and I'm like, the other one would be too soft, and I'm just like, so I just did what I needed to do. So I
remember growing up just always worried about my sisters. Though.
Beating didn't help me.
No, beating don't work.
Honestly, it didn't help me. I'll cry and get over it.
Like, things like that I probably shouldn't need to have thought about. Like, if my sisters were in school, I'd be like, I hope they're not getting bullied. And, you know, things that you were, like, thinking as a parent more than, like, as a sister, where it's, like, your parents would be the ones worrying if they're getting bullied. Worry. And then they can figure it out. They don't even... Nigerians even know bullying exists.
I'm like, they'll be like, what do you mean? Someone's, like, root back.
Yeah.
Or you ignore.
And it's not every child that can do that. Yeah, it's not every child that can buck back and, oh... But I used to always think, oh my God, are they, you know, do they have this? Do they have that? Are they happy? And it's just like, oh my God, it is draining. It is draining the level of responsibility. At what age? Like, if I could go back, this is why now sometimes I act like a child when I can act like a child, because listen, I deserve it.
Yeah.
I deserve to be.
Like what childhood?
Exactly. To be fair, I always tell Abby because she doesn't know some cartoons, and I'm just like, what childhood?
I'll put it on for my brother and sister, and then I'll bond with them. Was anything that I need to bond with them, I do bond. For me, I walk it, watching big stuff, watching EastEnders, Why Life and Kids,
yeah,
all that grown up, because I thought I was a grown up.
Yeah, literally.
Like, that's the thing. I actually thought I was a grown up.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things like, don't open the door. Remember that don't open the door thing? Yeah, it used to always get me. Like, I don't think people. Young people of this generation even know what that means. When someone is knocking on the door and your parents are like, make sure you don't open that door. That was fear. If someone pressed the bell, you duck.
You think that's
right? Everyone freeze. I used to crawl and turn off the TV real quick. Silence. Radio silence.
I used to do that. Me. My mother said, don't open the door for anybody. Make sure the door is locked. Look after your siblings. Okay, so I did. So I put the double barrel thing on the door. And my mother came back and she said, knock, knock. I can't open it.
Is that what you said?
So basically, you're a dickhead. I basically couldn't. Because it was the first. I used it, so I couldn't open the door for her.
God.
So literally, she kept knocking. She's like, open the door. Open. I said, Mom, I'm not gonna lie, I cannot open
you
physically.
Locked yourself in
I locked
house.
Myself in the house. So there's me with two young girls in the house, locked. Ask me how my mother had to get in because we were living in flats then. Window. Just she had to go and get a ladder.
Oh my God, Abby. Okay, that's a bit deep.
Fam, I don't tell me nothing. You tell me something, I'm going to
do what you told me.
Because I listen.
Yeah, I'm trying to prove to you that I understand you, Mom.
Oh, no, man.
No, but seriously, being a big sister is hard, yo. Yeah. But honestly, I say I suppress things, so I wouldn't change anything. Mm. Like, it is what it is. Life is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back and say, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. The only thing I always say is I wish I had the opportunity to choose the career that I wanted in the beginning. But at the same time, I don't regret it now because I'm still doing what I like. So yeah. It's just one of them things where life just kind of has its way of finding its course back. So...
Yeah, so I'd say, yeah, being the eldest is hard.
If you are the eldest child at the moment listening to this and you're like 14, 15,
and you're confused, you feel like you're doing too much, try to actually speak to your parents.
That's one thing I wish I did. Yeah. I had the confidence to do growing up. I wish I was able to voice my opinion and say, I just want to be a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my find a way to say
it. First be a child, yeah. And a sibling, not their mother.
Yeah, I want to be their friend. I want them to, you know, I want us to build a relationship now and here. Like, don't feel like everything is... Because there are young carers. There are children who care for parents and who care for their siblings. Find the help that you need. Like, speak to someone. Speak to anyone that you know will listen and support you and help you, because it's not easy, like, growing up. And I think I have it bad. I remember when I was in school, there was a girl who was a carer for her elderly parents, like, because she was young and they had her young, they had her old, and she was caring, and the school didn't find out till ages, because she was coming looking really, like, tattered, like, worn out every day. And I used to think she was just dirty.
Remember there was a, what do you call it, a YouTuber that talked about her experience being an eldest. And she said that she had to money. Her mom kept taking money from her.
Yeah.
And she went to Nigeria for time after time.
Yes.
Oh, that gave me triggers. I was just like, no.
Nigerian parents have been leaving their children and going to Nigeria. Y'all need to chill, bro.
What?
Y'all need to chill. Like, my only thing that I will always say is, a lot of us were not asked to be born.
Mm-hmm.
So, our generation, I don't expect people to be having kids recklessly.
Yes, we need to change.
Children are a blessing. And children are there for you to create a new generation. We don't want... do you know, on Twitter reminds me that I'm not alone. Every day, because there are so many people going through so much that they didn't even realize they were going through. It just takes someone else saying, oh, damn, this happened. And then you're like, yo, that happened to me too. What were our parents doing? Mm-hmm. There's so many people, and some people, it's either their parents had no money or their parents had too much money and they left them. Like, either way, we all going through the same thing. Exactly. We're all going through the same thing. So I really keep saying this. I really hope we can do better for our children, because honestly, yo, it's hard out here.
They be tripping.
Parents be tripping. But anyways, that is all I have to say today, Abby.
Yes, and that's
I think too. I think the moral of the story is,
kids be kids, parents be parents.
Honestly, parents be parents. Like, the trauma of first girls, like, I don't know about guys. I can't speak for guys. We might have to get an older sibling guy to see if they are affected by being the eldest boy or anything like that. I can't speak for men. But for women, definitely. Even though, I don't even think, well, this is me saying, because I know, like, let's say there was a boy that was the firstborn, there'd be a girl after her, after him, and she became the first child, if that makes sense.
Yes.
That's what I saw growing up. Like, it was always the girl holding her little siblings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And older one.
Yeah. And the guy was just playing. So, but yeah, I can't speak for men. But for women, yeah, we went through a lot. So, yeah. Thanks for listening to my TED Talks today.
Yes, thank you. With Abby.
Hope. Why did I just go blank there?
I don't know. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Hope. Sharing stories about
Abby, have a little bit of energy with it. Like,
it's a pressing matter. I don't understand.
Abby just went really like,
you know what I mean?
Into her thoughts. Like, I just really don't understand. But yeah, guys, hope you enjoy this one. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you share with your friends, your family, your loved ones, everyone, even your enemy, because they may be going through this as well. If you are still going through like your trauma from being a young the oldest, definitely seek help. There's free therapy with the NHS, but obviously you've got to like wait on the list and that. But if you can afford therapy, definitely get therapy. There's nothing wrong with speaking about how you feel and seeking the help that you need. There's no shame in it. We should actually promote things like that, promote, you know, openly speaking about the things that affect us. But yeah, anyways, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We will catch you on the next one. Make sure you follow us at Sisters Like Friends. That's at Sisters Like Friends with an extra S on Instagram. And also, if you want to send us any collaborations or any dilemmas, you can email us at theslfpodcast@gmail.com, theslfpodcast@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at theslfpodcast. Hopefully we'll be chatting to you soon. Abby, you got really quiet now.
Did I?
Yeah. Come back to us.
I've been Abby, and thank you so much for listening. Love you guys. Bye.